When we begin to learn Hilchos Bas Vachalav, so there were three terms that have to be defined right away, and that pretty much takes up all of Siman Pei Zayin. The three terms are Basar, Chalav, and Bishul. If you got those three terms down pat, then you have some idea as to what Bas Vachalav is all about. Then you just started, then you have to really learn Bas Vachalav. But this is the introductory shiurim, just to define properly what those terms are all about. So we'll start with the first one, the term of Basar. So of course, the term Basar doesn't even appear in the Chumash itself. The Torah says, Lo Savashal Gedi. Sadi, and maybe that means a goat. Maybe we're wasting our time talking about Basar, we should be talking about goats. So the Teresh Rabbeh tells us quickly that that's not exactly the case. That even though the Torah only speaks about a little goat, but Teresh Rabbeh tells us that there's a din deraisa, that Basar b'chalav applies to anything that din is considered to be Basar. So even though it's not necessarily a goat, that's also considered to be Basar. The question, of course, becomes, what qualifies as Basar on a level of deraisa? What exactly is the real Makoy of Basar on a level of the rice? If it's not just a goat, what is it possibly? So the Mishnayos in Maseches Chulin and the Sugyas throughout, beginning of the 8th Perek and later in the 8th Perek, point out a Machlekes HaTanoim, a fundamental Machlekes HaTanoim, really in a certain sense, a three-way Machlekes HaTanoim, about how exactly do we define and how do we do restrict in defining what's considered to be Basar on a level of the rice. So the first major question that the Tanoim already raise is Basar Oaf considered to be Basar or not? Because when the Torah speaks about Los Avashas, Biba Chalavimo, is there reason to believe that chicken and turkey and duck, all kind of oifus, is that considered to be included in the Yisra Deraisa Basar B'Chalav? We'll come in a moment, we'll figure out why do we care whether it's Deraisa Derabanan, that's going to be also an important question. But right now, let's just focus on the level of Deraisa. Is Basar Oaf considered to be Deraisa or not? So one group of Tanoim says, yes, it's called Basar, it's called flesh, it's called meat, and therefore it's the same. It doesn't make a difference whether you cook chicken and milk, you cook goats and milk, sheep and milk, cows, but it's all the same on a level of the rice. That's one extreme sheet in the Tanoim. And then you have other Tanoim who chisel away and say, no, it's not true. That Basar Oaf is not considered to be Basar on a level of the rice. So, but one of two possibilities. So one possibility is the drush of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, it says Gedi, and it says Gedi three times. So even though, it says Bas B'chol three times, so even though the word Gedi is Lav Dafka goat, but there is some significance to why the Torah calls it a Gedi. Why doesn't the Torah just say, Lo Sevashal Basar B'cholav? So the answer is that the Torah is telling us that the only time Bas B'chol their eye supplies is only if it's Dumya to Gedi. It's got to be similar to some degree to a goat. How similar does it have to be? So Rabbi Akiva says, well, a cow, that looks like a goat a little bit. It has certain similarities to a goat. They're both mammals, I guess, okay? And a sheep, that looks pretty much like a goat. But a chicken, that's so far removed, that's so different. Chicken, you know, walks around, flaps its wings. A goat walks around, does bah, in a different, whole different picture. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva said, it's so fundamentally different than a gedi, therefore it's not included in the Torah of Lo Savashas Gedi B'chol Avimo. That's one possibility. Then comes Rabbi Yosef Gluli and says, I have another drasha. Maybe there's a different reason why a Basar Oaf is not considered to be included in Bas B'chol Deraisa, because the Torah says B'chol Avimo. The whole description of Bas B'cholav is that you're not allowed to cook in its mother's milk. Now we know, of course, the Torah Rabbeinu tells us that cholavimo is like tafka, it's mother's milk, it's any milk also. But the Torah is clearly talking about a type of a basar that gives off milk. So comes Rabbi Yosef Gluli and says B'cholavimo, oaf doesn't give off milk. Oafs are not they're not mammals. Only mammals have mammary glands. They give off milk. Birds don't have milk. So therefore, oaf is not considered to be included in Bas B'chol Deraisa. So we have right in front of us the beginning of the 8th Perek of Chulin and the end of the 8th Perek of Chulin, the three major shittas in Tanoim about what the status of Basar Oaf is. So one Tana says it's Tacha Deraisa, one Tana says it's Derabanan because it's not a Gedi, and the other Tana says it's Derabanan because it doesn't give off milk. Is there any difference, the halacha, between the two, reason number two or reason number three? Does it really matter what the poter is? Does it matter whether we exclude the oaf from the fact that it's not called the gadiya, whether we exclude it because it doesn't give off milk? So there is a possible nafkamin. You can have another kind of an animal out there that's not all that similar to gadiya, but on the other hand, it does give off milk. What's another kind of animal? Maybe a chaya, maybe you have a wild animal. What would the din be? So on the one hand, a wild animal is also very, very different from a gadiya. Gadiyas are very domesticated. They're sitting in the barn. They're not going anywhere. You have a deer running across traffic roads, the highway. It's a very, very different kind of an animal. So chayas and behemoths are different from one another. So if you're into the drush of gadiya, lamait, animals are not similar to Gedi, then you maybe believe that Achaya is excluded as well. Whereas if you hold that everything revolves around Cholavimo, so then, well, the deer are mammals, right? When they're mammals, they give off milk also. So maybe one would include deer. So again, it may happen afkamina. It may be important for us to know what the Mokor Lamaitis Oaf is, assuming that such a din exists. So the bottom line is we have three possibilities. Either Besar Oaf is Deir Aisa, or Besar Oaf is Deir Abonon for reason number one, or Besar Oaf is Deir Abonon for reason number two. When I say that Besar Oaf is not Deir Aisa, I jumped the gun by saying, oh, it's the Rabbanan. So even that's not so poshut. So there happens to be one Tanner of Yosef Glili, a lone sheep out there, who says that not only is Besar Oaf not a problem with the Raisa, it's not even a problem with the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef Glili was really, really making. He said, you can mamash halach lamaisa, we can have a shiel lunch today, you can have a chicken sandwich with a piece of cheese on it. It's hetagomer. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, there's no issa, not the Raisa, not the Rabbanan. So that already for sure we don't pass. Like, I didn't say how we paskin about the first shiel, it's the Raisa, the Rabbanan, but to say that it's mamash mutter, that nobody paskins like, except for Rabbi Yosef Glili. When the Gemara says in the end of Masech Shabbos, that in Rabbi Yosef Glili's town, they paskin like Rabbi Yosef Glili. So Rabbi Yosef Glili's town, they used to eat chicken and milk together, Lamaisa. Why was that? How could they follow Rabbi Yosef Glili if everyone else disagrees? So Rabbi Feinstein writes in his Akdamah to Gris Moshe, this is an example of the principle in Halacha. When you have a machlokes, they have machlokes at Tanoim, and there was never really a vote yet. So each Tanis holding is entitled to his opinion. Rabbi Yosef Glili was a Bar Hochi, he was a Gil Hora, so he paskin that Basar B'chol doesn't apply, not Midaraisa, nor Midarabonim to Besar Oaf. So he was entitled to his opinion. Nobody else accepted it, but he was entitled. But his Talmidim were allowed to follow him, his Balabhatim were allowed to follow him, and they did follow him. Once the Beis Din HaGadol eventually, years later, voted against Rabbi Yosef Glili, by the days of the Amoraim, it was already Nimna B'gomer against Rabbi Yosef Glili. If someone today would try to follow Rabbi Yosef Glili, we would say eating treif, we would say you're violating an Issa. But in the days of Rabbi Yosef Glili, it was still okay to follow that sheet. But that sheet has been long outvoted. So the question that we want to know, the question we want to know is, how do we paskin halacha? We paskin like the first view that Besar Oaf is mamash deraisa. There's no difference between goats and sheep and cows and chickens and turkeys. It's all the same. It's all deraisa. Or do we paskin for one of these different reasons that Besar Oaf was on the midrabban? How do we paskin halacha in the shayla? So there is a machlokes of Rishonim about this topic. So Tosus in the eighth parak of Chulin, we're going to hopefully come back to this Tosus later on, but there's a whole discussion in the Gemara about which will become a whole shurim in and of itself about the requirement of waiting between fleshiks and milchiks. So at one stage of the Gemara throws out this cryptic statement by saying, well, all these dinim of waiting between fleshiks and milchiks, it doesn't apply to Besar Oaf. Eat oaf, you can have chicken, you can have your cheese, and 5 minutes later, there's no dinim at all of waiting. So in the middle of that sugya, the Tosus says, really? Tosus says, there's no dinim of waiting? We all wait. Everybody knows, says Tosus. Nobody here eats chicken and then has their ice cream right away. So the Gemara says, what can we say? It's also what's going on. So to suggest the possible answer for that phenomena, so Tosus says, well, maybe that Gemara that said that you don't have to wait from chicken to milk is assuming that Besar Oaf is on the Midrabanan. But we, says Tosus, we all know that Besar Oaf is deraisa. We paskin like the Tana that Besar Oaf is deraisa. So that explains away why we're waiting after eating chicken, between chicken and milk. So again, we're going to come back to this Tosus, an important Tosus in the sugya of waiting between flesh and milchiks. But for our purposes, you see clear from Tosus that they assume it's a double portion, that we paskin halacha that Besar Oaf is deraisa. So this is Shittas Tosus. Who disagrees with Tosus? The Rambam disagrees with Tosus. To such an extent as the Rambam disagrees with Tosus, the Rambam in two places disagrees. In Hilchos Macholos Asuras, when he writes the din of a Bosa Macholos, so the Rambam writes that Midaraisa, Chumash says Gedi, and the Tosha Bapeh says all other kinds of meats, but the halacha is that Besar Oaf is only Midarabonim, says the Rambam. It's not Shach, that should be Midaraisa. The Rambam has a different solution to that dilemma of Tosus while we're waiting from Fleshis to Milchis, not for now, we'll get to that later on. But the Rambam Sheet, the Nuchas Mechol Sosurus, is clear as day that Besar Oaf is not an Issa Deraisa. It is so clear as day that the Rambam Nuchas Mamrim repeats himself. In the end of Mishneh Torah, the Rambam Nuchas Mamrim develops a whole Yesod about the Isra of Bal Tosif in the Torah. We usually think that Bal Tosif means you're not allowed to add a fifth bias to your tefillin, you're not allowed to add a fifth min to your lulav, can't add another string to your tzitzis maybe. So that's what we usually think is Bal Tosif. In the summer, when they were making tzitzis to send to the chayalim. So somebody didn't know that you're supposed to have four strings and not five. The guy made a pair of tzitzis with five strings in it. They mixed it up with the other 5,000 other begadim. So the shayla was, we have to go taking apart all the tzitzis to go find which was the one which was the Bal Tosif tzitzis. So the summary shenim will say there's no baltosif on the strings of tzitzis, only if you put in a different string. If you take four strings of wool and then you take in something else, or something, another min, so maybe that's called baltosif. But if you just add on 25 different strings of the raw kosher strings, so maybe there's no baltosif. So somewhere there's a chayal, someone who's wearing a pair of tzitzis that's relying on that sheet in rishenim. Okay, anyway, enough for now. Okay, so one of the highlights of tzitzis making in kol. Okay, anyway, so... So the Rambam writes that Bal Tosif doesn't only include adding on in the mitzvah say, but there's Bal Tosif and Losa says as well. What's the, how can you have a Bal Tosif and Losa says? It's a mother thing. So the Rambam writes, if you misrepresent the Torah, let's say if the Torah says, some kind of a din deraisa, and I tell people, okay, this is awesome in deraisa. That's not Bal Tosif, that's what you're supposed to do. Let's say the Rabbanan come up with some kind of a din, and they say the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to move a pen on Shabbos. The Minat Torah, you're not allowed to write with a pen on Shabbos. Mid the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to move the pen on Shabbos. So if I would get up and say Shir and Uchlin Masecha Shabbos, and I would say, guess what, guys? It's also Midaraisa to move a pen on Shabbos. So not only am I a liar, but I'm in violation of Bal Tosif. The Rambam writes, that's called misrepresenting of the Torah. If you say something that's the Rabbanan, you misrepresent it to the Olam by telling them that it's Deraisa, that's a violation of Anissa Deraisa Bal Tosif within the realm of Lav, the Chiddush Gadol of the Rambam. How did the Rambam know that? We are in the world that say that anywhere in the Gemara. Every case of Bal Tosif in the Gemara is always in the realm of Mitzvah's essay. How did the Rambam know there's Bal Tosif by Lavim? That's the Rabbi's Kasha. So the first one the Rambam explained, the Rambam got it from the Eitz Hadas. Because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kol HaMosif Gareya, that Chava, when she said to the Nochash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us not to touch the Eitz Hadas, so the Gemara says that was Bal Tosif. The Gemara says, Kol HaMosif Gareya. What she should have said to the Nochash was as follows. The Nochash comes and says, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you know, you can't touch the Eitz Hadas. So she should have said, no. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, we're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Adam Arishon, as the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, he made a gezeira that we're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. That would have been a proper presentation of the Mitzvah Torah. But she lied. She mixed up. She said that the Ribbono Shel Olam said, lo sigun bo. The Ribbono Shel Olam never said not to touch it. The Ribbono Shel Olam said not to eat it. So she misrepresented her chokha, presenting it as a deraisa. And the Gemara calls it kolam osif gareya. So that's what the Rambam's mocha was. Strange mocha, that's the Rambam's mocha, that when you misrepresent dinim derabbanan by calling them deraisas, that's a problem. That's a violation of Bal Tosif. So the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'amar is trying to illustrate this idea that what's deraisa has to be called a deraisa, and what's derabbanan has to be called a derabbanan, and you can't mix up the two. You can't confuse people. You can't tell people bishlacham's deraisa. You can't lie to people and tell them that that the isurim derabbanan are isurim deraisa. That would be Bal Tosif. So the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'amrim he just finished writing all of Mishneh Torah. He's talking by the end of Hilchos of Yad HaZachah. He's trying to figure out, let me think of a good example of an Issa Derabbanan. Let's really give the best possible example of an Issa Derabbanan to highlight this cloud. He had everything in front of him. He could have gone from Muktzir to Bishalakum to a million Derabbanans. He picked on one. What's the famous one he picked on? Sar Oif. He writes that, for example, like the Rambam, if a person will get up and give a shiur in your day, opening day, and say that Pesach Ofer is also Midaraisa, say in violation of this is Midaraisa Bal Tosif. That's the example that the Rambam gave. That's the violation of Bal Tosif. So who violated Bal Tosif according to the Rambam? Tosif, right? Tosif was a violation. They violated Bal Tosif according to the Rambam. So Lamaisa, in the end of the day, it's Machlekes Rishonim, it's Pesach Ofer Midaraisa, it's Pesach Ofer Rabbanan. So Tosfos and Chulin assumed that it's a deraisa, like the one group with Tanoim, and the Rambam was so vehemently opposed to that sheet that he chose that as his example of violating Bal Tosif. How do we paskin lahalach and Shulchan Aruch? So all the nice Akanim Shulchan Aruch write, Shach, Taz, all the Gedalia Paiskim and Simon Peizayan write, that's Nimna Vagomer, all the later Paiskim that the Rambam is correct. That we paskin like sheet, the Rambam, that Besar Of is not deraisa. So that's clearly the accepted halacha b'zman hazeh. Besar Oif is no shayla whatsoever. We paskin against that places. We paskin up. We still paskin. You have to wait anyway for other reasons. But at least in terms of Besar Oif, we paskin that Besar Oif is for sure not considered to be an issa d'araisa. That's how we accept. That's how we paskin la halacha. Question is, why are we spending the first 20 minutes of your day on this topic? But it's d'araisa. And on the end of the day, it's also anyway. Mein nafkamina. Or Rabbi Yosef Glili, you can have your chicken and you're waiting to have your chicken and your pizza for lunch today. Nobody follows Rabbi Yosef Glili. Even Rabbi Yosef Glili himself couldn't follow him bizman hazeh. So nobody follows Rabbi Yosef Glili. So what are we doing and wasting time on whether it's deraisa or derabbanan? It's also anyway. Mein nafkamina. Whether it's deraisa or derabbanan. So the Rambam has a chiddush gadol. It doesn't appear in the Gemara beferish, and if anything, seems to be a little bit against the Gemara. The Rambam has a chiddush gadol about bas b'chol deraisa. In contrast to Bas B'chol of the Rabbanan. The Torah says Lo Savashu could be three times. We know the famous Gemaras that tell us that there are three different Isurim Derais about Bas B'cholav. There's Bas B'cholav is also the Bishul, as the Torah says. Bas B'cholav is also the Achila. Bas B'cholav is also the Hanoah. We assume that all three of those are Isurim Deraisa. So comes the Rambam and says that B'med Devar Mamurim, that you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to be nana, that's only true when you deal with Bas B'cholav Deraisa. When you have types of Bas B'cholav that are only Midirabanan, so the Rambam writes that for the Bas B'cholav Derabanan, Chazal would never misaken anything except for Nisra Achila. Nisra Achila, that's the real list. That's you're really not allowed to do with Bas B'cholav. You're not allowed to cook it, you're not allowed to nana. Those Isurim were never instituted mid Derabanan on Bas B'cholav Derabanan. So now the Rambam just took the Shaila to a whole new level. This is not just an academic, theoretical Shaila, whether B'sarof is Deraisa Derabanan. The Chapa Naf Kamina Ladina. Am I allowed to cook Sar Of B'cholav together? I want to work in a trefa restaurant, and I'm a cook in a trefa restaurant, so I want to know, can I cook? So I have to look at the menu. So if the menu has Besar Behema B'cholav, that's the problem. Even though I'm not going to eat it, that's an Issa Deraisa. If it has on the menu Besar Of, so then it depends. According to Tosis, that's also Mederaisa, but we follow the Rambam, that's how we paskin. The Besar Of is on a Mederabanan. So if the Rambam is right, that Besar Of is Derabanan, and the Rambam is right, that whatever's Derabanan, there's a Heter Bishul, the Heter Hanoah, then we're in business. So the answer is we do follow it. We follow both of the Shitas of Rambam, the Halach Lamais and Peizayan. We follow the Rambam, that Besar Of is Derabanan, and we follow the Rambam's cool, that whatever's Derabanan, there's no Isser Bishul, no Isser Hanoah. Different either. It depends who's buying it. So it depends where I live. If I'm opening up my chicken and milk restaurant in the middle of Washington Heights, that would be a problem. But if I'm in the middle of, I used to have a Talmud from Omaha. So I used, before that, I had a Talmud from Omaha. I used to always say, let's say if you're doing something in the middle of Omaha. So I once said it when he was in the shiur, he was very insulted. So I changed it to Omaha and moved it to Wyoming. I said, we haven't had a Talmud there from Wyoming. Okay. So it depends where you're going to be. Okay, good. Anyway, so again, so what do we have so far? So chazal for a second. So we have a posuk in Chumash. We know for a fact Gedi is lav dafka Gedi. We know it means all kind of different potential mammals, at least. Whether it applies to birds, as a three-way machlekes atanoim, we pass in aloha that it doesn't really apply to birds, and we're assuming the shittas and Rambam that whatever's derabanan, so we're not so concerned with the yisur bishul, the yisur hanoah. Yeah, some kind of reason. The Rambam's not clear exactly why this should be so. If anything, it sounds like the Gemara, not that way, but the Lamaya says what the Rambam says. Okay. We usually assume that. Yeah. That's a general accepted practice. Okay. By the way, guys, it's open for questions. This is not supposed to be a one-way street. This is a discussion. Until I tell the discussion's over here. It's the next part of the show. Okay. Leading into the next part of the show. Good. So far, so good. So we have most of the animal kingdom down here. We know where the sheep is also. We know the goats are also. We know the cows are also. We know the birds are okay. Everything's gevaldik. Now we move into the realm of animals that are mammals, but they just happen not to be kosher species of mammals. So let's say, for example, you have a chazer. So I want to cook chazer together with milk, and I want to serve it. So obviously I shouldn't be doing that because I shouldn't be eating chazer. But I want to know, is that called bas b'cholav? That's my question. I want to know, is the issa bas b'cholav apply? So believe it or not, the Gemara tells us that the answer, the Mishnah says the answer is no. That if the species of animals is a min behema tamea, that is not called bas b'cholav. Why is that not called bas b'cholav? So where did that come from? So Rabbi Akiva says, well, that's back to the old Gedi story. Lo savashel Gedi, b'cholavimo. It's got to be a Gedi. Well, not really a Gedi. It could be a cow. A cow and a goat are pretty similar to one another. The similarities are that they're both kosher. But a pig... A pig and a goat are so radically different. One's kosher, one's treif. So a species of treif animals is not called gedi b'cholavimu. So that's how we assume the halacha. There's no bas b'cholav b'chol. It's not bas b'cholav for anything. It's not bas b'cholav for achila. I mean, you can't eat it anyway. It's not bas b'cholav for bishul, which would be helpful. So let's say if I want to work in a restaurant that's not just cooking chicken and milk, but that would be cooking bacon and milk together. So that would be okay. I'm allowed to cook up Besar Behema Temeah, because that's not called Bas B'cholav. Or I would be permitted to get Hanoah from Besar of Chazer and milk together. That's not called Bas B'cholav. That's for sure true. But Besar Behema Temeah, species of non-kosher animals, is not at all considered to be Bas B'cholav. Not at all Bechlal. Almost Bechlal. So some Acharenim raised a very, very strange question. Some Acharenim raised, well, you know, things that are excluded from Gedi, Behemoth Tamei is not the first thing we excluded from Gedi. We just excluded 5 minutes ago Oaf from Gedi. And we say that even though Oaf is excluded from Gedi, that means that Midaraisa doesn't apply. But they did smack and they said, they're rabbanan at us. Chazal did throw it, they said, they're rabbanan at us. So maybe one can argue that when you have chazir and milk cooked together, it's also mit the rabbanan, al tbosh b'chov the rabbanan. That's what some achrayim, the Bach, others raise such a question. That again, it should be parallel to the oaf story. It's the same idea. Oaf is excluded, it's not dumi to gedi, but still mit the rabbanan, it's a problem. So maybe chazir is not similar to gedi, so it's excluded mit the raisa. Maybe it should still be also mit the rabbanan. What would that mean, practically speaking? That would mean that when a person sits down and has his chazer and cheese together, we are very, very angry at him. Why are we angry at him? Because he's in violation of what? What? He's in violation of Bosa B'chol of the Rabban. That's what it sounds like, right? So you got to scratch your head and ask yourself, what? It's chazer anyway. It's also midaraisa. If he ain't listening to the Torah, he's probably not listening to us. I mean, what did the Rabban have to make this decision for? By Bishol, by Oaf B'chol of, that I understand. The Sarov B'chol of, that taka makes a lot of sense. You have to, otherwise it would have been a mutter. So we had, I'm eating kosher chicken and kosher milk, so it would have been mutter to eat it. So midir Rabbanan, they threw an Isser Bos B'chol at you. Here, I'm eating chazer anyway. So my hani la Rabbanan, what are you going to say the Rabbanan for? What's this the Rabbanan going to be added on? What are you going to accomplish with this the Rabbanan? Ella, what are you going to tell me? Wait, hold on. So Ella, what? So Ella, you're going to tell me, and it's a Bishul and it's Rana, but the Rambam just got finished telling us 5 minutes ago that whenever you have Yisurim the Rabbanan of Bos B'chol, there's never going to be an Isser Bishul and it's Rana. Right? So if the parallel was going to be, we wanted to make an equation from Oaf to Chazer. That's the key, right? You have a piece of chicken, it's like Chazer. So just as a piece of chicken is not deraisa, but it's still awesome in the Rabbanan, so we should make it throw a same as the Rabbanan at you when you have Chazer and Oaf. So I'm saying, Mimonim Shach, for the Yisra Achila, it's awesome in the Raisa, what do you need to say the Rabbanan for? For the Yisra Bishl and Hanah, it ain't going to be a problem anyway, because it's only the Rabbanan. So what do you need such a silly Yisra the Rabbanan? The Beis Din has nothing else to do with the time. They're sitting in the Lishkas HaGozes, they're trying to figure out, let's think of a real good Yisra the Rabbanan, a real teeth in it. We're going to make an Yisra the Rabbanan, you can't have Chazer and pizza together. Whoop-dee-doo, I didn't Yisra the Rabbanan for that. So it's also anyway with the Raisa. So most of the Acharanim assume that it's such a silly Yisra the Rabbanan that they never made it. I mean, what kind of Yisra the Rabbanan? Why would they ever make such a Yisra the Rabbanan? So some Acharanim have Zachumras and Isis, Chatech and Asnaf. We can't even begin to discuss those things yet. We're way, way, way down the line for that. Some Acharanim have some strange Chumras that maybe they did make a Yisra the Rabbanan. The Pashta Dvarim is, the Shach says, the whole thing is so silly. Why would you make a Yisra the Rabbanan for? It's also with the Raisa anyway. So believe it or not, so you would think, this is such a moot shayla. Who's going to ask? Who cares about this shayla, right? What's the difference? It's also with the rice anyway. Who cares whether it's with the rabbanan thrown on?
Yeah, but it looks, if it's much of the rabbanan for Sihana or for Basa'ot, then it might look like you might be cooking actually.
I don't know. Maisa, it's a moot shayla. Who cares whether it's also to eat it anyway. So I tell you, Maisa Sharkach, I had the shayla one time. A real shayla. Lochla Maisa. Shayla was that one of NCSY bests. They were running some kind of a lunch program or something. Everyone, public school kids, were bringing all their own lunches. They weren't necessarily giving them kosher food. Kids were bringing their own lunches, and the question was, can they serve milchik donuts after the lunch, knowing full well that some of the kids are quote-unquote fleishiks? That was the question. So the question is, well, what do you mean? What are they fleishiks from exactly? So here comes an interesting twist. So I said that, well, any kid who ate the chazer for lunch can eat the donuts because there's no bas mechala. Because if there's no bas b'chol of even, not the rice, and not even the rabbanon, then the whole gezeira of the waiting 6 hours was only because that's like eating bas b'chol together. But if you tell me there's no iser b'chlal of chazer and milchiks together, even with the rabbanon according to the shachs, then there should be no need to wait. So anyone who ate kosher meat would have to wait 6 hours. Anyone who ate trefer meat wouldn't have to wait 6 hours. I was trying to formulate that psach. I don't know how we worded that exactly. It wasn't such a good psach to formulate. So I think we left it blank. But that was the chur what the answer to the question should be. And if you ate chazer for lunch, then it should be okay. So I had the foolishness to suggest that why don't they serve parva donuts? So they said, what, the Hamish brand donuts? Because the kids were eating chazer for lunch. They're not going to want to eat chassidish donuts. They want the real donuts. Dunkin' Donuts.
The sack would be that if they eat kosher meat, they could be.
I was very nuanced in what I said because I'm leading to the next part about kosher meat versus kosher species. I was trying to walk a fine line in that one. Okay, but again, just to keep you posted with the chazah. So next time you eat chazah by mistake, you can have your ice cream afterwards. When the most posted, you can have your ice cream afterwards.
Okay.
I didn't get to that yet. We have to get to Nevela. Okay, good. So far, again. So we started talking about Gedi. The Chumash said Gedi. Then we extended it to other behemoths. Then we're not sure about Eifes, where we don't think it applies to Chaza. We don't think it applies to Chaza even Midi Rabban. And we don't know where we're thinking at this point. But now we have to move on to the next part of the topic. So comes the Gemara and raises the following Shaila. What if it's not quite Chazir? It's a Gedi. It's a real goat. Bond, not regular. Goats don't do bond, do they? They, I don't know what they do. Okay, it's a goat, it's a sheep, it's a cow, it's the real McCoy. One small technical problem, other problem of the cash, it wasn't shechted. So it's beside the veil. Okay, it's also in the rice, a big deal. It's also in the rice. Also, the veil is not on, it's not on the smicha requirement anymore, so we don't have to learn shechit anymore. So it's also good, it's also, you can't eat it. Also, fine. I want to know, is there an isavos b'cholav on beside the veil? So on one hand, I can't exclude it from Los Avashos Gedi. I can't say it's not a Gedi. It's not a Gedi. It's a goat. Mm-hmm. Hard to say a Gedi, a goat is not a Gedi. Of course it's a goat. Of course it's a Gedi. Of course it's meat. Of course it's Basar. It's Basar Behemoth Tahora. It just happens to be awesome in Daraisa because it's Basar Nevela, Basar Treif, whatever the case may be. So what's the din? How does Basar Mechalov play out with these kinds of foods? So here the Gemara Chulin tells us we cannot exclude it based on the Pasuk of Gedi, but we have to open up a whole new discussion. What's the new discussion? A very basic discussion called Einis Achalalissa. Maybe you could argue that, well, once it starts out as Besar Nevela, so then how in the world is Einis Abbas B'chol going to be Chal on it? Isn't that a flagrant violation of the rule of Einis Achalalissa? So comes the Gemara in Maseches Chulin, the 8th Barak, and says, well, we have to analyze this question very, very carefully. Does this touch on Einis Achalalissa? Does it not touch on Einis Achalalissa? So comes the Gemara and says, well, it depends which Isser Abbas B'chol you're talking about. If you're talking about the issue of achilas bas b'chol, then the answer is yes. Because here you had a piece of nevela here, right? So you had a piece of meat, okay? So it was asur b'achila, alts nevela, and now you want to superimpose a cup of milk with it. Can you tell? Right? You want to mix it together, a milk cup, cook it up in a pot of milk. So you want to superimpose the second issue of achilas bas b'chol. So that's an absolute violation of the rule of Ein Yisachal Alisar. So if you accept such a rule of Ein Yisachal Alisar, then the chara, the answer to the question should be, it's not really Basar B'chalav. Ein Yisachal Alisar kicks in, and it's not really Asar B'chalav. I didn't say you're allowed to eat it, it's also Asar Nevela, but adding milk to it, the chara doesn't change, doesn't make it any worse, because Ein Yisachal Alisar. However, the Gemara says, what if you're not being done vis-a-vis the Yisra Achila? What if you're being done vis-a-vis the Yisra Bishul? What if your shayla is, I want to work in a restaurant, that asking me now to cook Besar Nevela together with milk. So can I hide behind Ein Yisachal Issar? What's the answer? Can I hide behind Ein Yisachal Issar? Obviously not, because there's no Issar of Bishul on Besar Nevela. So Ein Yisachal Issar means if action X is Asa, or Chaticha X is Asa for reason one, so then reason number two isn't going to kick in. Over here, there is no Issar Bishul. So if I'm not being done on the Issar of Achila, I'm being done on a question of Bishul, there never was an issa. There's no issa to cook Besar Nevela. So now when I want to cook Besar Nevela B'cholov, I can't exempt myself based on an issa chalissa. So of course there's going to be an issa bishul deraisa. So that's the Farish Gemara. The end of the 8th paragraph, Chulun, the Gemara, the Farish, that we split. Normally, Bas B'chol is a package deal. Either all three are rasa or all three are mutar on a level of deraisa. Here, a unique reason we split, that vis-a-vis the issa achila, an issa chalissa kicks in and exempts me. Vis-a-vis the issa bishul, so there was no Ein Yisachal Issar. Good. The Gemara is very, very simple. So the Gemara solved two out of the three problems. Of course, which problem did the Gemara not solve? The Hanoah problem. So the Gemara left out of this discussion the most important Shaila, the one that we care most about. Most of us are not eating Besar Nevela B'cholav. Most of us are not cooking Besar Nevela B'cholav. But many of us would like to get Hanoah from Besar Nevela B'cholav, particularly those who own dogs would very much like to get Hanoah from Besar Nevela B'cholav. Those who work in Burger King would very much like to get, those who own stocks in Burger King, they would like very much to get Hanoah from Besar Nevela B'cholav. So we have to ask ourselves the third case, which is the most important case, the Gemara is mysteriously silent on. The Gemara never tells us what the din is. So we have to do our homework, try to figure out what the din is on our own. So in order to understand what the din is in this middle, most important category, is there an Isra halacha l'maisa? Is there an Isra no on basar nevela cooked b'cholov? I've had this shayla many times. For dog food, other things, Burger King shayla, many times. What's the din? Is there an Isra no d'araisa on basar nevela b'cholov? Basar chaz b'cholov, we said that's great. Basar nevela b'cholov, what's the din? So we have to acquaint ourselves with a little bit of some of the sugya v'enis chalis in order to appreciate where the Rishonim are coming from in this sugya. So let's backtrack a little bit. We'll close Boston. I could say we close the Shulchan Aruch, but we didn't even open them. We don't even have them here. We're super here. So we'll just figuratively close the Shulchan Aruch for a minute and just go back to some of the details of the sugya v'enis chalis. So comes the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos in the third parak, cool in other places, and says, even though there's an absolute cloud called Enes HaChalisa, which half the Tanaim hold doesn't exist, but we assume does exist, we assume there's a cloud of Enes HaChalisa, there are three possible exceptions to Enes HaChalisa. One of them is easy, it's what's called Isser Bevas Achas. But if you have two Isurim that take effect at the same time, simultaneous, the Gemara says, that's not called Enes HaChalisa. Let's say, Lamoshal, coming up in a few weeks, Yom Kippur is going to fall out on Shabbos. So if a guy does Malacha on Yom Kippur Shachalas B'Shabbos, so you don't say, well, you can't be chayav twice because you only did one in Yischalas. No, since the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos and Yom Kippur were chal simultaneously, so both Yisurim are chal together, so Mamela, the whole sugi of Yischalas doesn't begin. So two Yisurim that are chal b'vasachas is one of the exceptions to the rule of Yischalas. And then the Gemara has another possible exception to the rule. There's two other possible exceptions. We're going to focus on one for now. Is what's called an Isser Moisif. The Gemara says, what if Isser number one was chal, and now Issa number two wants to be chal? A week later, Issa number two wants to be chal. And Issa number two has certain dimensions that Issa number one didn't have. There are certain degrees of Issa, certain things that Issa number two is going to contribute that Issa number one didn't have. So the Gemara says, that's called an Issa Moisif. And when it comes to an Issa Moisif, Cain, yes, Issa chal al Issa. It's like a Migo a little bit. Like Migo that the second dimension is a chal, so the whole Issa number two is chal as well. So Issa Moisif is yes, Cain, yes, Issa Chal al Issa. What are some examples of an Issa Moisif? What are some examples of a set of added dimensions of Isurim that Issa number two may have, that Issa number one doesn't have? So that's really a question to be shown. What exactly qualifies as those added dimensions, added characteristics, those added traits of Issa that could potentially tip the scale in the direction that Cain, yes, Issa Chal al Issa? So the Rambam happens to hold, based on the Super Rini of the Gemara, the Rambam happens to hold that an Isser Hano'ah is an acceptable added dimension. Isser Hano'ah is a pretty serious story. Isser Hano'ah is very important. Isser Hano'ah is an important character trait that could qualify as an added dimension of Isser. And therefore the Rambam says that Isser Hano'ah would become Isser Chal al Isser. If you have an object that's only Asa B'Achila, and now an Isser Hano'ah, now a second Isser would be Chal, that would carry with it both an Isra Achila and Isra No, we would say the Isra No does qualify as an added character trait, and it's an Isra Moisif, and Mamela, the whole Isra number two is Chal, and now you have a new Isra Achila as well. So you can give you a Malkus, give you a Chorus, whatever it is, to Chayv Chatas for two Isurim, because of that Isra Hano Shabbat. The Isra Hano Shabbat is called an Isra Moisif. So comes the Rambam and says, if that's true, then we have ourselves in a very, very serious dilemma. Because let's go back to the Basel Chol story. Okay, so we started out. We had this Pesach Nevela in front of us, okay? We had this big piece of meat called Nevela. And we know that Nevela was also Mewat. What's the status of Nevela? There's an Isser Achila, but there's a Heter Hano. Okay, Nevela is Mutter Hano. That's right enough. You go ahead and you mix this Nevela with a cup of milk, and now you create a Basa B'Cholav. So what did the Gemara say vis-a-vis the Isser Achila? The Gemara said B'Ferish and Chulin, that Enes Achal Lisser, you're only going to give you one Malkus for eating this mixture. We're going to give you Malkus for eating the Vela. We're not going to give you Malkus for eating Basa B'Cholav because of Enes Achal Lisser. Frek the Rambam, why is that true? According to what I just told you, I just proved to you that Isser Hanoh qualifies as an added character trait. So this should qualify as a classic Issa Moisif. So why does the Gemara say that the Issa Bas B'Cholav is not Chal on the Issa Nevela? What are you talking about? Why is it not called an Issa Moisif? Let the Issa Hanoah be the Issa Moisif. Once we declare Bas B'Cholav as an Issa Moisif, the Mela, the added Issa Achila is also Chal. And if a person eats B'Sar Nevela and Cholav together, should be Chal Malkos twice, and the Gemara says B'Ferish not that way. This is the famous Kasha around them. Who knows what's this famous kasha called? the kun on the floor. This is the Rambam in his Perush Mishnayos Maseches Krisos. Says, I'm about to tell you an unbelievable part, the kun on the floor. It's beautiful. It's the point of wonder. It's unbelievable. Somebody told me that in Rav Kapach's translation, that phrase doesn't appear. The kun on the floor. How could that be? That's like, say, part of our lexicon for like thousands of years. And I'm not sure. Whatever. But the Rambam coined the phrase, or somebody else coined, somebody coined that phrase, the kun on the floor. The Rambam got really, really excited about it. Really, really excited about this kasha. What happened? Why doesn't the Yisra HaNoshibo create an Yisra Moisef?
I would understand that if the Nevela was then cooked with the challah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's cooked. It's cooked together.
But are we talking about a case of the Nevela that you're eating milk?
No, I just keep on saying eating milk, because I'm not being some doctor in my lashon. But I mean, you cooked it, mamash. Take a piece of Nevela, throw it into a pot of milk, and hocus pocus, you have bos b'cholov. So the Gemara says, you only chayav malchus feeding Nevela. You're not chayav malchus feeding bos b'cholov. Frek the Rambam, what happened? What happened to the Yisra Moisef Shabbat? You should be based on the Yisra Moisef, you should be chayav twice for the eating. That was the Rambam's kasha. So comes the Rambam and says, I'll tell you what the answer is. Says the Rambam, what I just told you before, that an Yisra Hanoah is called an Yisra Moisef, is not always true. It's only true, says the Rambam, when the Yisra Hanoah is an independent Yisra Hanoah. And again, we're leaving out Kachim, not for now. But says the Rambam, when it comes to Basa B'cholov, the Yisra Hanoah doesn't stand on its own. Basa B'cholov, first you have to decide, is there an Yisra Achila? If and when you decide there's an Yisra Achila, then, by the way, a secondary to the Yisra Achila is an Yisra Hanoah. But the primary Yisra of Basa B'cholov is an Yisra Achila, not an Yisra Hanoah. Hanoah is second fiddle to the Yisra Achila. The Yisra Hanoah is Neveh, it emanates, it stems from the Yisra Achila. You have to first kapaskin whether it's also B'achila. Says the Rambam, I have a piece of Nevela. It's also B'achila Mutabano. I go and I cook it together with milk. You want to decide it's called an Yisra Moisef, and therefore it should be also twice. Achila also, says the Rambam, you're talking in circles. You can't bring the Yisra HaNoah into the picture, yeah? What do you have to decide first? First you have to pass in the Yisra Achila Shabbai. Is there an Yisra Achila? You have to first determine Yisra Achila. If and when you're passing in the Yisra Achila, then the Yisra HaNoah will kick in. How can you pass in Yisra Achila? What's the magic phrase? Ein Yisachal HaLisser. So says the Rambam, first you have to decide Achila, and then afterwards you'll decide, is there HaNoah? So says the Rambam, since you first have to paskin Yisra Achila, the Mela turns out that there never was an Yisra Achila because Ein Yisachal HaLisser, so it's not called Bos B'chola vis-a-vis Achila, the Mela it's not called Bos B'chola vis-a-vis Hano also. So comes the Rambam and says, based on this beautiful Nekuda on the floor, the bottom line is when you have Besai and Avela cooked together with milk, what's the din? There is no Yisra Achila of Bos B'chola on it. There is no Yisra Hanoah of Bas B'cholov on it, because Hanoah emanates from Achila. The only thing that you're left with is what? It's a bishul. Okay, so I have to give you a job cooking and burning. Okay, you can give him a vatra that. But the Yisra Hanoah, like the Rambam, is okay. The Yisra Hanoah doesn't exist. Famous Shittas Rambam in Perushim Mishnayos. Does anybody disagree with this Rambam? Unclear. So the Neid Yehuda in his notes in Siman Pei Zayin and Dagum Avav in the Sadi Yerdeya claims that Tosfos disagrees. How do we know Tosfos disagrees? There is no Tosfos that disagrees. Because Tosfos happens to have a different version of what Yisra HaNoah is in terms of Yisachal Yisr, based on a shittah that Tosfos tucked away in the Maseches Chulin. So the Rebbe claims that some Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Not sure, we don't have it on record, any Rishon explicitly disagreeing, but it could be that some Rishonim disagree. Therefore, the Acharonim are very, very nervous. How do we machri on the Shaila? Should we paskin like this Rambam? Should we just quote this Rambam just outright and saying, Rambam hot kazach, that Nekudah HaNeflah, there's no Yisra HaNoah, everything is gevaldik, or should we be very, very weary to suggest that there may be some Yisra'im out there, phantom Yisra'im who may disagree with the Shittas of Rambam? So the Gedalia Poskim and Siman Pei Zayin are back and forth. Should we make it like the Rambam? Should we be machmir against the Rambam? Somewhat of an ambiguity. How should we machmir the Shaila? This shaila becomes, as I said before, most important in terms of pet food. What's the difference? So many, many of the pet foods out there are mamish bos b'cholov. What kind of bos b'cholov? The sign of veil. They're not buying OU meat and then mixing it together with the milk. They're buying regular beef Besan Nevela, and they're cooking the Besan Nevela together with the milk, the cheeses, and now the question is, can I feed this to my pet or not? So according to the Rambam, it's Hetter Gomor, according to the Rambam, Ein Nesachal Lisser kicks in to say there's no Isser Achila on it, and once there's no Isser Achila in there, there's no Isser Hano, and show my soul, it's Hetter Gomor. So according to the Rambam, it's Mutlach Achila, going to any pet store, buy whatever kind of a treif, pet food you want, feed it to your dogs, everything is Shalom Yisrael. But according to those Acharonim, who are not so sure we should follow this Rambam, they would start to hesitate. They would be nervous. Not so simple that you could feed your pet food. Not so simple you could feed the regular tray for pet food to the guy, to the animal. What would you have to do? According to those who want to be machmer in the shayla, what would you have to look for? If you were looking for a pet food, what would you look for? What would be a good way to look for? So you go for chicken. So if you go for chicken and milk, chicken and cheese, stuff cooked together, so that would at worst only be a derabbanan. The derabbanan speaking, right? It would only be a derabbanan anyway. If it's a derabbanan, the Rambam told us that the Yisra Noah doesn't apply. So that would be a much, much better route to go. So therefore, lechatchila, what we tell people to do is when they're buying pet food, they should try to find pet food which is chicken and milk instead of beef and milk. Those who insist that their dogs will not tolerate the chicken, I try to always convince people it's good for the cholesterol of the dogs, it'll be better for them, it's healthier. But those who feel their dogs, you know, a little, he needs his Alpo and it's got to be, you know, the real McCoy, so then they're relying on the Shittas Rambam. Okay? So those Zion, they're relying on the Shittas Rambam. Remember when my kids were little, so we used to, one of the malls near us used to have this pet store. So the kids used to love going to the pet store. So I mean, I'd go with them to the pet store. They would just sit around, watch the dogs running around, watch the birds flying around, everything. There's a limit what you can do. So I used to always go and read up all the backs of all the food. That when people asked me the shayla, I would be, you know, really on top of it. They didn't understand what the rabbi, how the rabbi knew which is which. So I was always holding which was milk, which was flesh, which was lost b'chol their eyes, etc. So one time somebody sent me, they heard me say a shir, and they sent me a can of a pet food. It was under the CRC. Apparently the CRC used to, yeah, I don't know, they still do. They used to give hashgacha on pet food. Not that it was kosher, but it was free of bas b'chol of hanah issues. It said on the pemoli, it says this is not certifying that it's kosher, just that it's mutar b'hanah, and it was b'chol to Pesach on it, a whole long ago. So my wife was in Wurzweil years ago, so she had a professor who was Jewish, but didn't know too much, and the professor had a dog. The professor always talked about this dog. So before Pesach, so she gave the professor this dog food and said it would be what a special way of the dog participating in the Passover experience. So the professor really loved it. Got an A out of that one. What else is going to do with this ridiculous thing of the dog? Yeah.
Why can't the same swear apply to by Bishul? I mean, we said that Bishul has to be over the assert of within the
Bela. No, because that's the Rambam's Chiddush, is that because the Isser Hanoah emanates from the Achila, so once there's no Isser Achila, so the Mela is no Isser Hanoah.
I can't be sure the same thing,
and
the Shul would emanate also.
No, I don't think so. Unless it's like the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah has a Chiddush like that, but I don't think so.
What's the most kind of supposed in terms of stocks and like,
Yeah, so we usually pretty make on that for other reasons. We usually assume that the amount, unless you're really, really, you know, owning Burger King or something. So the odds that that you are getting any real super duper hanor directly from that, it's usually not so clear. I had somebody asked me Shiloh once about, also related to the Burger King Shiloh. He asked me Shiloh, is he allowed to work in Burger King? But he's not the guy flipping the burgers, he's working in marketing. The Burger King. So there, one could argue that every person who he's convincing to buy a cheeseburger, so he's making, down the line, he's making more money out of that. So that's a little bit more direct than just me sitting and owning a mutual fund somewhere. So I thought that you could be making based on a combination of svaras. One of the svaras was this Rambam, was based on the Chulin Niflah, but the Achranim are a little bit nervous about the Rambam. We'll get to a little bit later on about the cheeseburgers, that it's not so clear cheeseburgers are really derived from Bechalov, because they're not cooked together, they're actually grilled together. So that's a big, whole total different shayla. This was the, I can't go more than the first shiur without carrying over the story. This was the $45,000 shayla. Who would bring? Guys in Cole know this one, right? The $45,000 shayla? Cheeseburger shayla? I just told it over in Cole this time, you know? $45,000 shayla. When I was when I finished smicha, so I was applying for the Kol Elyon. So at the time, so you had to go for six different mechinas, six different Rosh Hashivas to interview you to get into the Kol Elyon. So it was Rabbi Willig at the time, Rabbi Shechter, Rabbi Khan, Rabbi Bleich, Rabbi Chalap, and Rabbi Peretzky, Rosh Hashanah. So he used to be the old Baruch in Yeshiva. So when they told me I have to come to get a bechina, so I said, Rabbi Chalap, knew me already for years. Rabbi Puretsky knew me for years also. Rabbi Willig knew me for many, many years. Rabbi Shech knew me for years. And Rabbi Kahn also knew me for a while. So all of them said, okay, good, good. Yeah, it's fine, it's fine. Rabbi Leich, I had never been to Rabbi Leich, I didn't know who I was. So I came to get a bechina, Rabbi Leich. So he asked me, what am I learning this year? So I said, I was learning Chur in your day that year. So he said to me, okay, what do you think about a cheeseburger? Think it's bas b'chov deraisa or not? So I told him over the realms of the kud on the floor. Then I said over the machlokes of Rishon about whether it's not derech bishul, because it's derech tzli, not derech bishul. So he said, okay, good, you pass. So that was it. That was bechina. So it was, at those years, the kol olam was $15,000 a year. So 3 years was $4,000 to $5,000. So this is the $4,000 to $5,000. This got me into kol olam. Okay, anyway. Maybe I should have cut that out of the worry. Okay. But let's get back to the story. So whether or not we accept this Rambam with absolute certainty, or whether we're kind of a star for this fakeness, but the Rambam didn't make it onto the page. And the Sad Shulchan Aruch, so the Prima Godim, and then the Yud, and the Pesach Chuv, everybody quotes this Rambam in the beginning of Surah Peizai, and about this Likud on the floor. But the emes is, when you read this Likud on the floor, this idea of the Rambam, so you have to be bothered with a few things, a few issues here. That bother us, not just about the Kudim and Flaw, but bother us in general about the whole sugya of Enes Echal Isra as it plays out in terms of Basa B'Cholam. B'Chari, you can ask a basic fundamental question, the Gemara, forget it, the Rabbi, even just the basic question of the Gemara. The Gemara says that at least vis-a-vis the Achila, so we say Enes Echal Isra. There's no Isser of Achila's Basa B'Cholam because it's ready also the Oymed, it's ready also out the original Isra of Besar Nevela. Isn't there a bomb kasha in the Gemara? An unbelievable bomb kasha in the Gemara. No one knows bomb kasha in the Gemara. There's a din, it ain't nisacha alisa, called it isa koilo. Isa koilo means that let's say I have an item that's also to eat, and now the second isra is about to be chal, and that second isra carries with it not other dimensions of isra, but other chafatsim of isra. There are other things that will become also at the same time. So say, Lamashal, let's say I have tray for meat, I have tray for food, and comes Yom Kippur. So if a guy goes ahead and he eats tray for food in Yom Kippur, would you say ain't the chal alisur? Because since it was nevela first, and now Yom Kippur ain't Yom Kippur chal alav. So one Tana says it, Rabbi Shimon says the way, but we pass against Rabbi Shimon. We pass in that the isur of Yom Kippur is chal on the tray for food. Why is that? Because isur of Yom Kippur is chal on everything. It's chal on the potato chips also. It's chal on the ice cream also. So migo that's chal on everything else. It's kolo even the dvar masurim as well. So ain't the chal alisur is trumped by the principle of an isur kolo. Since there are other chafatzim, other devarim that become also based on issa number two, the mele issa number two applies to issa number one as well. That's what Farish Gemara in the third pekha of Yilamas. That's called an issa kailo. So all the chareim are bothered. What's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara says, I take meat, trace of meat, right? I take basar nevela, and I cook it together with milk. There's no issa rechilas bas b'chol, because then issa chalas. What's the problem? No. Where's the issa kailo?
No.
The milk. Didn't the milk just become bas b'chol? The milk wasn't trade. There's nothing wrong with the milk. I took chov yisrael mahadrim and mahadrim mamash al chumras. I took the kosher milk and I put it together with a piece of meat and I cooked it all together. So what does the Gemara say? Ain't it sechal alisa? What do you mean it's sechal alisa? Why is this fundamentally different from the din of Yom Kippur? Just as Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur is kol dvar mamutarim. So once it's asas dvar mamutarim, it's kol dvar masurim together. Who are dinami when it comes to bas b'cholav? It should be kol the just as it asas the milk, it should be asas the besan avail as well. So the whole Gemara doesn't make any sense. The whole nekudah for the whole sukkah doesn't make any sense. What's the Gemara talking about in Yisrael? Listen, why doesn't the milk pose a problem? So comes the Chassam Sofer and says the answer to this question is a fundamental yisoid in hukas bas b'cholav. Says the Chassam Sofer, the Isser Basa B'cholov is fundamentally an Isser of Basar. It's not really an Isser of Cholov. The Isser of Basa B'cholov is you're not allowed to eat Basar sin is Bashal B'cholov. We fundamentally have to be down at the Basar. The Cholov is just a sideshow. You need Cholov in order to create Basa B'cholov, but the name of the game, the name of the Isser, the Chaticha Sisser, the Chaticha Shalissa is an Isser Basar. And as such, since the Basar is Besar Nevela, Memela. You can't solve, you can't say, well, it's kol dvar macherim. What do you call dvar? You can't pass it on the cholov. You have to pass it on shayla on the basa, because that's where the real issur is. So comes the Chassam Sofer and he says, this idea is almost true, but not quite 100% true. There's already a remnant of this pshat, already the beginning of this pshat in the Gemara itself. The Gemara has a shayla in Masechus Chulin, in the 8th parak. Gemara raises the following shaila. What's the din if a guy eats a half a, he cooks up basar b'cholov, he takes a half a kazayas of basar and a half a kazayas of cholov. He eats it. What's the din? Is he over? Is he chayav malchus? So the Gemara quotes one possibility that no, he's not chayav malchus. You know why? One day the Gemara says, lo sevashel gedi, gedi asher teira v'lo cholov. The Isra of Basar B'cholov is eating Basar Shenis Basar B'cholov. There's no Isra to eat Cholov Shenis Basar B'Basar. One day in the Gemara. And therefore, unless you ate a Kazayas of Basar, you're not over in Isra Malkus. And the Gemara rejects that sheet. The Gemara says it's not true. We pass in the Halacha that even if you ate half and half, you're going to be Chayav. Why is that? So we clearly paskin that not Gedi Asatar of Lo Cholov, but rather Gedi U'Cholov Basatar. Each one is an independent Isra. So comes the Chazam Sofer and asks on himself, Abba Zoi, that if we were to paskin Gedi Asatar v'lo Cholov, then my Shtikl Torah would have been great. But since we don't paskin that way, my Shtikl Torah is a disaster. So comes the Chazam Sofer and says, no, you can still salvage my Shtikl Torah. Even though it's true that we paskin la halacha, that if you have a half a gezayis of each, you taka or chayav. But im kol zeh, there's an ikur and a tofel over here. The Iker Isser Basar B'Cholov is really fundamentally on the Basar. Everybody agrees to that. The Machlaikis HaMarayim in the Gemara is it only on the Basar? There's not a no Isser on the Cholov? The role of the Cholov is just to create the Isser on the Basar, but there's no independent Isser of eating Cholov that was cooked with meat, and therefore not Mitzdar for the Shear. So that far we don't go. That's already way too far. That Ad Kedekach we don't say. But we do go halfway. We meet that Shita halfway by saying that the Cholov is not nothing. On the other hand, it's not the Iker either. The Iker is a bas b'cholov is takal l'smasha gedi. Like when the Bakari says l'smasha gedi, everyone else says b'chalei b'mel. So you just under your breath say b'chalei b'mel. That's not the key. The key is really the Yisra and the Basar. Therefore, Zop the Chassam Sofer, when it comes to the klolim of Enes Echel l'Isser, you have to be done based on the Iker Isser. It's almost like the Rambam Zikrun on the floor. You have to be done on the key. The key is the Basar. If the Basar is b'sar nevela, so then what will it then be? Enes Echel l'Isser, and there won't be an Isser Achila of bas b'cholov on it. So the Chassam Sofer is able to salvage this Gemara, based on a new understanding of the relation between Cholov and Basar. Comes the Chazanish and says it's not true. The whole thing is not true. Says the Chazanish, we paskin halacha. What are you talking about? We paskin halacha gedi uvicholov. We paskin hefek azayis of each shechayv. It's starved together. Why do you think the Basar is more important than the Cholov? Maybe the Cholov is more important than the Basar. How do you know? So says the Chazanish, the kushas may correlate. So the whole question was never, didn't get off the ground. Why? Says the Chazanish, it's not a question of what's more important. Tachlas, it's a package. You need two to tango. You need both. If you don't have basar v'cholov shenis bashlu yachad, so then you don't have basar v'cholov. So comes the Chazanish and says, if tachlas the issa basar v'cholov can't be chal on the meat, so then it can't be chal on the cholov either. It's like walking around in circles. You can't ask a kash and say, well, let's start off with the cholov and say, oh, the cholov is us, and migo the cholov is us, and the basar is us. That's an unfair question. You have to paskin up that there's a basar, that's a problem. If you have to paskin up there's a cholov, there's a problem. If you paskin that everything is a problem, then you have basar and cholov. So you don't have to go as far as the Chassam Sofer to say that basar is the ikarisser and the cholov is neveah from the basar. You don't need all that, says the Chazanish. It's just that lemaisa kachi tzuras ha'isra ha'tayra. The Torah is basar b'cholov b'yachad. So if either the basar or the cholov is off limits because it's also for another reason, so then that's not called basar b'cholov. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says. The Gemara says that ein issa chal issa kicks in, and therefore there's no issa achilas basar b'cholov on b'sar nevela. Whether that carries over to Israel, no, that depends on the Rav's nekuda. There's one last nekuda before we end. No pun intended. One last, not such a nefla, but one last nekuda that the Acharonim have a lot of problems with this whole sugya of ein issa chal issa here. For the following reason. The Pashtus Advarim in the Sugya of Ein Issa Chal Isser doesn't mean that the second Isser isn't Osir. What it means is the second Isser, you're not Chayav Malkis for it, you're not Chayav Koris for it, but Avad, that's Osir. Avad, the second Isser is Chal, it's not Chal vis a vis ancient. That's the super reading of the Gemara in Yevamos in the third parak. Ein Issa Chal Isser is an ancient Sugya. You can't give a guy twice Koris for the same Chaticha. You can't give a guy twice Malkos for the same Chaticha. You can't give the guy a Chi of Korban twice for the same Maisa. But in terms of Kapa Shmaya Galya, did you eat something wrong? Did you do something bad? You did something terrible. Of course you did something bad. Of course there's something wrong with what you did. Of course there's Bas B'Cholov here. So why does the Gemara make it sound like there's no Bas B'Cholov? There's nothing. Ram says there's no Achila and therefore there's no Hana. What do you mean there's no Hana? There is an Isra Achila here. The Isra Achila is Chal on B'Sar Nevela. It's just you're not going to get ownership of Malkus. So how could the Rambam make up a Nekudah flaw and say, Well, everything depends on the Isra Achila. And there's no Isra Achila, therefore there's no Isra Ana. What do you mean there's no Isra Achila? There is an Isra Achila. There's no Malkus for Achila, but there's still an Isra Achila here. So it's a little bit of a Pella. This whole Sugya, this whole Eris Chalisar, as it's playing out in Bas B'Cholav, is a little bit strange. But I'll call him. We're finding it strange, but the Maestro, the Gemara, the Rambam says it. So again, just to summarize what we have for today. So we pretty much finished our first Vasugyas. Namely, we wanted to figure out what's to be Magda properly. What does the word Bosa mean? That's the key. According to Chazam Sofer, that's everything. But even not according to Chazam Sofer, that's the key word. What does Bosa mean? So we touched upon, does Bosa mean Besar Behema? Does Bosa mean Besar Oaf? Does Bosa mean Besar Chaya? That's one whole topic. The Rai says, the Rabban, etc. Then the second half of what Bosa potentially may mean is, what if it's not a kosher species of animals? So that's not considered to be Bosa. Not the Raisa, and probably not even the Rabbanan. Then you have a third question. Okay, it's a kosher species, but it happens to be Besar Nevela. Is that considered to be Bosa B'chol? So that touches upon the whole Enes HaChalalissa. So within the Enes HaChalalissa Sugya, you have to work out the Shittas of the Rambam about the Nekuna Nefla. Do we paskin, not paskin? All the ramifications of Allah. So again, so we touched on a couple of the ABCs in terms of just defining what that term, that key halachic term, Bosa, means. Hopefully, next year we have to work on the next important term, which is Cholov. And if we get both of those terms down together, then we can start the Bishul term and try to figure out what Bosa B'chol is and what it's not. Okay. Just terms of the next year. When is next year? Who knows? Sunday. Okay. Is this Sunday around? Guys are around? Is there a Shiva this Sunday? Anyone know? I don't know. Labor Day. Middle of the week, you know? Sunday's regular Shia. Okay, good. Okay, so from Mitzvah Shem, so we from. So Sundays we give one from. 12:45 to 1:45. That was the decision. Okay, good. Good. Okay.
Is it still on? Hello, people.